Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God I'd like to direct your attention to in our thoughts this morning are the words that we heard in the epistle lesson from Hebrews 13, 1 through 8. Just want to refresh your memory with a few of those verses. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, what is 150 years? Here I thought we found one of the founders over here, but no, that didn't happen. He doesn't claim to be 150. Any of the charter members here this morning? No. Most people, I think the oldest person that we heard about recently dying was about 115, wasn't it? Not even 150. And yet here's a congregation that has survived for 150. So if we can't find any charter members, I wonder if there are some relatives of charter members. Are there some relatives of charter members that are still members here? You want to kind of raise your hand to see if we have any? Well, what's going on here? I don't see any. That doesn't mean you have to be a child. I mean, that would mean you're almost 75 or 80 or something. No. But anyhow, the church has existed for 150 years. What else has survived that long? You know, that's a long time when you stop to think about it. I can think back 50 years ago, and without too much trouble. But 150 years, a lot of things have happened over those 150 years. And in my way of thinking, if the people that founded St. John's congregation did not do that 150 years ago, where would we be this morning? What would we be doing this morning? Something to ponder, isn't it? And what are we doing about the people 150 years from now? And so I'm happy to be here to help you celebrate your 150 years. It's a real joy that a congregation is 150 years old. It's one of the older ones around. And yet, as we celebrate a milestone like that, it gives us an opportunity to look back and ponder what's been accomplished for the sake of the kingdom. I'm sure there were good times, and I'm also fairly certain there were some not so good times. So, you know, we learn from our past, and when we find times that are not so good, then we try to avoid that. So that in the future we can have more good times than bad. But we also realize that Satan is around trying to draw us away. And that's why we have squabbles in the church, because Satan is still around. He doesn't have to work on other people, just those in the church. And so I've told people, I don't know if this is really sound advice or not, but if you don't want to have troubles, then give up Christianity. You know, the devil doesn't have to give you trouble if you're not a Christian. But I don't want to advise that, no. It's not a good idea. You might have a good life while you're here on this earth, but after this life, I don't think you'd want to spend eternity in hell. So we turn to Christ. And so we praise and thank God for his bountiful mercy in keeping this congregation faithful to his word for those 150 years. Interesting, as we sang those hymns this morning, all focusing on Jesus, the chief cornerstone, the word of God being faithfully proclaimed. And so we thank God for these 150 years. As we look at the text and think about what has transpired in the past, we know that there is a void in everybody's life. You know, there's something lacking there, and we want that filled. It's just kind of like when you're hungry but don't know what you want to eat. There's a void in everybody's life. And so it's been tried to be filled with a variety of things. There are religious and other organizations striving to offer something to fill that void. We know what it takes to fill that void. There's a number of things, but the greatest thing is being part of the family of God. Being made a child of God through holy baptism, and then remaining faithful to Him and His Word. Our text talks about a number of those things that help to fill that void. One of them is brotherly love. That's one of the marks of the church. It certainly is a witness to those outside the church. Jesus said, "By this men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." But love is somewhat difficult to define. There are three terms for it we know in the Greek language, only one for it here in the English. When you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. And if we are to love people, then we should certainly love our fellow Christians, our fellow redeemed. You know, it's kind of like in a normal family. I say normal, whatever normal means nowadays, but in a normal family, the siblings sometimes have a little rivalry and they will argue with one another and they'll have their little spats. But outside the home, if somebody says something against one or the other of those siblings, beware, because they will defend them to the hilt. And so even in the family of God, we have some disagreements, a variety of them, some of them not too significant, some of them a little more significant, obviously. But we're going to have difficulties, as I said, because of the devil, for one thing. And then we also see how in the days of the apostles, people were traveling around. They had a variety of things. Why were they? They were scattered by persecution. There were other things. And so they were traveling place to place, and the motels and restaurants were not too plentiful back then. I mean, that was more than 150 years ago. It's like traveling in the eastern part of Germany like 20 years ago. They didn't have too much in the way of roads or motels or anything. Now it's changed. But in the days of the apostles, the people were scattered, and where were they going to find food and shelter as they were scattered? And so to encourage the Christians in showing brotherly love for one another, to reach out with hospitality and offer food and shelter to their fellow Christians, the writer alludes to the experience of Abraham and Lot when they entertained angels unaware. How are we providing for others? We have an opportunity now. You know, we have a lot of brothers and sisters down in the southern part of our United States that are in need of some care and help. You know about that probably as much as anybody else. The Council of Presidents, we've been on the phone a couple different times trying to provide help. One of the things that we've come up with was adopting congregations. Each district, in the Southern District, there are 140 congregations, and they know of at least 40 of them that have been affected by the hurricane. And so they ask if each of the districts would kind of adopt one or two congregations, and so that's a thing that's in progress. And we with Southern Illinois will adopt a couple of those congregations. Right now, we know where the one pastor is. We don't know where the other pastor is. We don't know where any of the parishioners are for either one of those churches. So it's kind of an interesting situation because as one chairman of one of the, not one of these congregations, but another congregation in that area, came into one of our pastors the other day, and he says, you know, I'm chairman of the congregation, but I don't know if we even have a congregation left. I don't know where the pastor is. I don't know where any of the people are. And so, you know, when we think about back in the days of the apostles, sharing and taking care of one another, this is our opportunity to do that to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is what's been going on probably all the history of this congregation, all 150 years. I don't know if it's been written up anywhere in particular, but I'm sure it's been going on. Because that's the way Christians are. They help one another. And they help others who aren't even Christian. As I was reading about all these things that were going on down the South and listening to it, and I know today people are not too excited about joining churches. They just don't want to be a part of it for whatever reason. And yet on the news you hear, and in order to help out those people who are suffering, we're turning to the churches. I thought, that's interesting. When they need help, they know where to go. But that's just physical help, not spiritual help. Anyhow. Another lesson that is learned here about the church and how we function together and work together is the fact about marriage is an honorable thing. And that view of marriage is something that comes from the Word of God. When God put Adam and Eve together in the garden, he said it was very good. Jesus also honored this estate by going to the wedding at Canaan, even provided for them in their time of need. So we see that the sixth commandment is still viable. And this has been practiced in this congregation, I'm sure, for 150 years. Marrying and the like. And so as we think about what has transpired over these 150 years, you know, just think about it. How many, and I don't know, maybe somebody has compiled these records, how many people have been baptized? How many people have been confirmed? How many marriages have taken place in this congregation? How many burials? In all this, it's all been focused around the Word of God. And as you think about all the things that have taken place, think about the kingdom of God and what would have happened if this congregation had never been established 150 years ago? What would have happened to all those people who were baptized over the years? What would have happened to all those that would not be able to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? What would have happened? But because this congregation has been here for 150 years, this has been a place where they can receive the sacraments and the Word of God, the means of grace. And so in that way, many people have been helped so that they can spend eternity in heaven. What a joy that is. What a wonderful opportunity St. John's has had over these years. And that's why also a few years back, you wanted to proclaim that word to people. You wanted it to be in your children's ears. You wanted them to learn more about God and His Word. And you established a Christian day school. What a blessing. So that the children can learn not only the reading, writing, arithmetic, but also religion. So they can, every day of the school day, and all day long, have that in their ears. So that they can be strengthened in their faith. The word has been proclaimed for 150 years, has not changed. It's still the message that was established back when the congregation was started. Although maybe it was started in German. But people can easily be swayed. We hear the same message. Christ died for our sins. He rose again and ascended on high. I heard that last week. Heard that the week before. Let's talk about something else. That's the message we need to hear. If we would quit talking about what Jesus has accomplished, because after all, he is our anchor, what would we have to talk about? Yeah, I know some churches will talk, have the police chief come in and give a talk during their so-called Sunday morning worship, or the fire chief, or the mayor, or something like that. But how would we be strengthened in our faith? How would we continue to cling to Jesus Christ as our rock of salvation? It'd be kind of tough. People can easily be swayed. They can lose their memory, fades a little bit. One of the things I like to test people with, oh, my memory's good. I know everything. Okay? Then tell me, if you would, how many wise men were there that came to see Jesus? And so oftentimes I get the number 3, and I said, no, there were 15. What? Where do you find that? I said, where do you find 3? If you read what the Word of God says, it said, there came wise men from the east. Doesn't say how many. Where do we get that 3 from? We 3 kings of Orient are. That's where. You know, there are 3 gifts. So our memory gets shifted by all the things in this world, and that's why we need to come together to this place to hear that word and be reminded of Jesus Christ, who went the way of the cross for you and for me so that we could spend eternity in heaven. That's why it's imperative that we remain faithful to the word, as this congregation has done for these 150 years. We don't want to change that word. We don't want to switch to having speakers come in to talk about a variety of other things. Sure, during our Bible classes or other things like that, we can do that. So we know how we as Christian people gather around word and sacrament can minister to others. And we're thankful for the many faithful teachers we've had over the years. Sunday school teachers, Christian day school teachers, Bible class teachers. We need to be grateful to God for a Paul who gave us a complete exposition of the Christian faith and doctrine in his epistles. For a Luther who dispelled the darkness of a long spiritual night with the light of the gospel. For a Walther who here in America proclaimed God's word and doctrine. And for every spiritual leader who declared God's word, God's plan of salvation for us. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, teachers. Sunday school teachers. Some of you may remember some of your Sunday school teachers. I remember one in particular, and for an unusual reason, for 2 reasons. One, because she gave me a New Testament that I still have, that's over 50 years old. And for the other reason, because she mispronounced a word in Sunday school one day. She talked about the 10 leapers, and I was thinking about frogs instead of people that had a skin disease. So Edith Miller will be in my mind for a long time. But what about school teachers? You remember all your school teachers? I was going through that in my mind the other day. I remember my first and second grade teachers. I remember my third grade teacher. I couldn't remember my fourth and fifth, but the sixth, the seventh. Well, fifth, yeah, I could. But fourth grade is the one I missed. Fifth and sixth, I know them. Seventh, eighth. Eighth is kind of difficult. I had 7 different teachers that year. They kept getting sick or frustrated with me or whatever, I don't know. But when we think about all these faithful people who have taught God's word to us over the years, what a blessing. And do we let down our haunches and say, oh, 150 years, now we can relax? No, 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 no. There's still work to be done. We can best remember those people from the past by remaining true to the word in the future. Many of these teachers have gone on to their eternal rest. The burden of teaching and preaching has come down to us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus has been the subject of our teaching for those 150 years. Just think about it. The same thing. But we need it. Teachers come and go. But the subject of their teaching, Jesus Christ and the salvation of mankind, does not change. Today and in the future, even back 150 years, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. I want to share with you a little story as we conclude. A train was crossing a mountain range, moving rapidly down a hill. Suddenly the whistle screamed and the brakes were applied because the engineer had seen two boys walking on the tracks at a point where there was a little chance to escape the rushing train. There was a deep ravine over here and there was a rock wall here. And here comes the train and here are these two boys. And just as it appeared the boys would be crushed, they caught sight of a little niche in the rock, into which they jumped as one cried out, "Cling to the rock! Cling to the rock!" The train passed by and they were unharmed. And that's my plea to you as well this morning as we celebrate 150 years and look forward to many more. Cling to the rock. Cling to the rock. Jesus Christ. His word. This is what has been going on. It exemplifies the sinner's relationship to the Rock of Ages. In Jesus Christ, we find safe retreat and all we need. This has been happening for 150 years here. By God's grace, it will continue until he returns. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen.